We have, over the course of this year, been welcoming a few new independent bookstores to our Book Picks family. And this morning, we welcome the Bennington Bookshop back to the fold. They were, they've been with us a couple times this year, and it's been a thrill to have Phil Lewis with us. He's the owner of the Bennington Bookshop in Bennington, Vermont. He's been reading and spending a lot of time on books and studying up for a terrific list of books to share with us. Phil, good morning. Thank you very much for being back in the program. It's lovely to have you here.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you. Where would you like to begin?
Okay, I'd like to start with a couple of sneak previews. We've got both of these books are coming out next Tuesday, the 27th.
All right.
The first one is Shirley Jackson, A Rather Haunted Life by Ruth Franklin. It's published by W.W. Norton to celebrate the centennial of Jackson's birth. And Franklin is a literary critic in New York City. This is a, you know, I'm not normally a reader of biographies, but this book demanded reading, and I quickly found myself absorbed and engaged. I live in North Bennington, where Shirley Jackson used to live, so,
yes,
you know, it's particularly drawn to that part, section of the book. I drive past Jackson's house on the way to the bookshop each day, and so there are some really fun snippets in the book for locals, like they mentioned Powers Market, which is still,
yes,
in existence today. And there's a lovely request from the administration of Bennington College asking students to remove incriminating bottles from windowsills in preparation for Parents' Day. So there's little things like that that make it really fun. And of course, was Jackson's most famous story, The Lottery, really based on people in North Bennington? Well, you'll have to read the book and make your own judgment there. The book draws on previously undiscovered correspondence and dozens of new interviews. It's an exploration of a great talent. And Franklin clearly loves the subject, and it comes through in a writing which sings. So we have an event with Ruth Franklin at the Carriage Barn in Park McCulloch House, North Bennington, on October the 30th. So we hope we'll see you there.
Wonderful. It's Shirley Jackson by Ruth Franklin, and A Rather Haunted Life is the name of the book. All right.
Okay, the next sneak preview is Archer Mayer, Presumption of Guilt.
Another Vermonter.
Another Vermonter, yes. And Joe Gunther is back. This is the 27th book in the series and features all of our old friends, Willie Kunkel, even more paranoid than usual, Sammy Martins, Lester Spinney, and Beverly Hillstrom. There's also a reprise from The Tagman, one of Mayer's previous books.
Mm-hmm.
A skeleton's discovered during demolition work at the Vermont Yankee power station, and the concrete slab in which the body is found was poured 40 years ago. Joe and his team are able to identify the body relatively quickly, but discovering a motive and the perpetrator of the crime proves more difficult. As the investigation continues, the victim's business partner is found shot dead in his swimming pool, and Lester's son, also a police officer, is kidnapped. This is classic Archer Mayer, a thoroughly good police procedural. I read it in one sitting. And as I said, the book is released next week, and we'll be holding an event with Archer Mayer at 7 p.m. on October the 6th at the Bennington Free Library. Archer's an entertaining speaker, so don't miss out. And there'll be time for questions and book signing at the end of Archer's talk.
Archer Mayer and the new book, Presumption of Guilt.
Okay.
All right.
Next up is The Sympathizer by Viet Tan Nguyen. This is Nguyen's debut novel, for which he won the Pulitzer Prize. It's recently come out in paperback and is on the bestsellers list. The narrator in the story, is known as Captain, is a communist double agent who fled to the U.S. as Saigon fell. There, he continues to report back to his superiors on the efforts of the Vietnamese diaspora to build a new army to reinvade Vietnam. But the captain is double in more than one sense. Not just a double agent, he's half French, born out of a relationship between a young Vietnamese woman and a Catholic priest. This background gives him unique perspectives on identity and culture, on love and belonging. It's a crackling read, with language that's colourful and exciting. And if I may, I'd like to read just one little piece.
Please.
Captain is visiting a Vietnamese restaurant in L.A. when he noticed that the clock on the wall is set to the wrong time. Refugee, exile, immigrant. Whatever species of displaced human we are, We did not simply live in two cultures. Displaced people also lived in two time zones, the here and the there, the present and the past, being as we were reluctant time travellers. But while science fiction imagined time travellers moving forward or backward in time, this timepiece demonstrated a different chronology. The open secret of the clock, naked for all to see, was that we were only going in circles. So in recounting the plight of the boat people fleeing the fall of Vietnam, this book provides a timely reminder of the modern-day refugee crisis being played out in Syria and Europe. A powerful read.
All right, good stuff. Next.
Okay, next up. This is an oldie but a goodie. It's The House at Riverton by Kate Morden. And I include it here because many of the people who come into the bookshop looking for Kate Morden's books have missed this one. Grace Badley is just a girl when she begins working as a servant for the Hartford family at Riverton House. For years, her life is inextricably tied up with the Hartford family's daughters, Hannah and Emmeline. At a society party in the summer of 1924, a young poet shoots himself. The only witnesses are Hannah and Emmeline. Years later, when Grace is living in a nursing home, she receives a visit from a film director who is making a film about the events of that summer. The director takes Grace back to Riverton House for one last visit, awakening her memories of the vibrant 20s and the secret that Grace has kept all her life. This was Kate Morden's debut novel, but you'd never know it. She writes with such skill and dexterity. Her characters are rich and well-developed, and the plot is finely woven. If you liked Remains of the Day or Downton Abbey, you'll like this book too, describing, as it does, the end of an era.
Excellent. It is The House of Riverton and Kate Morden. All right.
Last Days of Night by Graham Moore. Electric lights are just beginning to make their appearance in New York. But whose system will prevail? The DC supply of Thomas Edison or the AC supply of George Westinghouse, which allows electricity to be used at greater distances from the generator? And who invented the light bulb that both systems depend upon? That's the question of a billion-dollar lawsuit, Edison versus Westinghouse again. The story is told from the perspective of a young lawyer, Paul Cravath, hired by Westinghouse to fight Edison's suit. It's a swashbuckling story of powerful men who will stop at almost nothing to get their way. There are so many household names invoked. Westinghouse, Edison, whose company became General Electric, Tesla, a brilliant inventor, Graham Bell, who first patented the telephone, and even J.P. Morgan, the banker. I enjoyed the book for its depiction of the history of the time, the excitement almost palpable as new discoveries were made on a nearly daily basis. It sort of parallels the stories of our modern-day high-tech entrepreneurs who seem to be involved in ritual one-upmanship with each other. Other readers at the bookshop enjoyed the story for Paul's growth as a person and his love of the beautiful opera singer Alice Huntington. So there's something for everyone here.
All right. Next up.
Next deck, tiny little book, really lovely, Seven Brief Lessons on Physics by Carlo Rovelli. And on an earlier show, my inner math nerd raised its ugly head. And now it's time for my inner science nerd to show its face. Seven Brief Lessons on Physics could easily go under the title Seven Brief Love Affairs with Physics. This is a beautifully written book. Science isn't so much as explained as admired. Rovelli touches on relativity, quantum theory, the architecture of the cosmos, particles, probability and time, and the heart of black holes. But don't be daunted. The language is approachable and thoughtful. Here's a quote from the third lesson. The universe began as a small ball and then exploded to its present cosmic dimensions. This is our current image of the universe on the grandest scale that we know. Do other similar universes exist? We do not know. So just plain, simple language.
Good stuff.
Good stuff, and I was just left feeling that I better understood a word. Not that I better understood our world, sorry, but that the world was truly a place of awe and wonder, and that I was privileged to be alive. I just thought it was a remarkable achievement.
Seven Brief Lessons on physics.
Okay, a couple of crime novels now. First one, I Let You Go by Claire McIntosh. On a rainy afternoon, a mother's life is shattered as a son slips from her grip and runs into the street. I Let You Go follows Jenna Garay as she moves to a ramshackle cottage on the remote Welsh coast, trying to escape the memory of the car accident that plays again and again in her mind, and desperate to heal from the loss of her child and the rest of her painful past. At the same time, the novel tracks the pair of Bristol police investigators trying to get to the bottom of this hit and run. As they chase down one hopeless lead after another, they find themselves as drawn to each other as they are to the frustrating, twist-filled case before them. I really enjoyed this book. There were some really good twists in it, and I'll be recommending it to our Whodunit book club in a future month.
Good stuff, and we'll probably have time for another a book or two.
Okay, I'll add a couple from Linda then, because Linda and I read quite different books.
All right.
And so it gives a slightly different flavor. Love Warrior, Glennon Doyle Melton. And this is a deeply personal memoir about one woman's journey to rebuild her life and her marriage after betrayal. Doyle Melton shares her struggles with intimacy, love, body image, addiction, and trust. She explores the difference between romantic and spiritual love and discovers what she needs to have both in her life and in her marriage. This book, Linda says, is an act of courage, and many will find parts of their own story reflected in her words.
Terrific. And finally,
last one, Circling the Sun, Paula McLean. Brought to Kenya from England as a child and then abandoned by her mother, Beryl Markham is raised by both her father and the native Kipsigis tribe who share his estate. Her unconventional upbringing transforms Beryl into a bold young woman with a fierce love of all things wild and inherent understanding. It's set against the majestic landscape of early 20th century Africa, and McLean's powerful tale reveals the extraordinary adventures of a woman before her time, the exhilaration of freedom and its cost, and the tenacity of the human spirit. For those who enjoyed Out of Africa by Karen Blixen, this is an opportunity to revisit the characters and see them from a different perspective. Linda says it's just a fabulous read.
It is Circling the Sun, Paula McLean, and Linda is your wife
and
co-owner.
That's correct.
Of the bookstore. Yeah. Well, for more information on the Bennington Bookshop in Bennington, Vermont, you can go to their website, which is BenningtonBookshop.com. BenningtonBookshop.com. Phil Lewis, thank you so much for sharing with us. The list will be on your site. The list will be on our site.
My pleasure. Thank you, Joe.
Very nice to have you.
Don't forget those events. They're really fun coming up.
And you can find out all about those events by going to BenningtonBookshop.com. Phil Lewis, thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.